Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Neil Garfield Show, a presentation sponsored by www.livinglies.wordpress.com, GTC Honored, and the law firm of Garfield, Kelly & White, serving all 50 states with news and analysis of the latest bank scams against borrowers, homeowners, consumers, and investors, and providing legal representation throughout Florida. This program is for general information only. It is not a solicitation for services or legal representation and should never be used as a substitute for advice from a licensed professional. And now, here's world-renowned financial expert, attorney, and blogger, Neil Garfield.
This is Garfield, and this is Thursday, September 18th, 2014. I'm broadcasting live from Boynton Beach, Florida, brought to you by the Living Lies blog, GTC Honors, AMGAR, the Garfield Firm with offices in Tallahassee and Fort Lauderdale. And, of course, this show is brought to you because of donations to the Living Lies blog from listeners just like you. Thank you. The topic tonight is watch out for those offers of modification. First of all, many of the offers of mortgage modifications come from sales organizations making themselves look like BOA or Chase or Wells Fargo or Citibank. They often put the logo of one of those banks on their solicitations, and if they're anywhere near trying to play within the rules, there will be some very small print at the bottom saying this is not an organization that is related to Bank of America or Chase or JP Morgan or Wells Fargo or Citibank. Those people generally are people to avoid. What they're trying to do in most cases is to get you into a refinancing that is more expensive than what you really need to pay. And, of course, they are doing the bidding of the large banks who are trying to protect their turf by legitimizing illegitimate loans, notes, mortgages, foreclosures, and even modifications. And then there are the modification packages that are so freely sent by the real banks. Those are the ones to watch out for. Generally speaking, they won't send it to you unless you fall 3 months behind in your payments. But under the documents you signed, whether you believe they're real, valid, enforceable or not, under those documents that you signed, when you miss a payment, you are in default. Your credit rating drops like a stone, and you will be unable to do business with anyone other than the bank that is offering you modification. There are several tricks and nuances to this modification game that they are playing. We can't cover all of them in a short show like this, but I can cover several of them. First is that once you are in default, they have you where they want you. What they really want is the foreclosure in order to lock up the potential liability they have to refund or repurchase loans, fund money to insurers and credit default swap counterparties and a variety of other disguised sales of your loan that happened multiple times. In my opinion, most loans have effectively been sold in full anywhere from 4 to 8 times on average, and in many cases the number is higher than 20. They really want the foreclosure, and that's what they're getting in many jurisdictions. And the borrowers think once they get into the process of submitting papers, when it fails, they think that somehow they screwed it up when they submitted the modification papers. They were simply, the borrowers are simply victims of another bank's scam. You submit a hardship letter which proves you can't pay. You are admitting the default. You are letting them say that the investor turned you down when they never even asked the investor. And there's no mechanism or program for them to be in contact with the investors other than making distribution payments, as in advanced servicer payments. And they will let you make partial payments or trial payments under a modification proposal and then say the permanent modification is denied or was rejected by the investor, and then they foreclose anyway, keeping the extra money you sent them. Think they are playing fair or that they will play fair, but they won't. They want the foreclosure, or if they can do it, they want to convert the loan that was funded by investors to begin with into a loan of their own, once again screwing the investor out of the money that the investor is entitled to, and incidentally screwing the borrower, who is entitled to a credit for the money that has been effectively stolen and which would be credited against the principal that is due. In the end, they end up with your house or they end up with a loan that they never funded. And the loan now carries with it your waiver of any defenses that you would have otherwise had. They didn't fund it, nor did any of their predecessors or their successors. That's what I am finding in my investigation, and that is my opinion. And I believe it to be true not only because of the corroboration that I have received in interviews and other documents, but when put to the test, even offering them the money that they're demanding, they would rather have the foreclosure because they owe 10 times that if they don't get the foreclosure. So where do they get the right to offer the modifications? They get it really because they claim it, but their claim probably is not true. If you ask them in a qualified written request or a debt validation letter to give you information on ownership and balance of your loan, you will get either no answer or an evasive answer. That is because they are converting or stealing it from the pension funds that once thought they were buying valuable mortgage-backed bonds when in fact they were buying trash. They claim their right to offer modification because of what they're calling securitization. As I've explained in articles over the last week and a half, I believe that the securitization that we are all talking about in fact never occurred, and that the money of the investors was directed directly down to the closing table with a large piece that was taken off the top by the broker-dealers that were purportedly selling mortgage bonds. And when you question them about the securitization, they argue that you can't probe into that because you're not a third-party beneficiary of their contracts with their co-venturers and investors. You are not, they say, a party to the pooling and servicing agreement or the prospectus. Really? I think you are a party, and in fact, a third-party beneficiary. What good would it do to have a PSA or prospectus if you weren't there borrowing money? What difference would it make? Who had the servicing rights or the rights to be a trustee of the REMIC trust if nobody was borrowing money and nobody was making payments? Are they seriously saying that you cannot probe the servicing application of payments when it is your loan they are trading You're a loan they are servicing. You're a loan they are insuring. You're a loan they are submitting for guarantees. And it is your loan that they are submitting for payment of $7,500 when the modification process begins underhand. So once they start it, they get more money before they finally turn you down. They get you into a modification plan that makes default even more likely than before. This is why I have been saying that the current services should be removed. Current services are claiming authority from a REMIC that's from the Internal Revenue Code, Real Estate Mortgage Investment Conduit, from a REMIC trust that was ignored from the time of inception of a loan right up until the time of foreclosure. The only asset that I believe are in most of the trusts, in many cases, are loans that were foreclosed. That means that once the judge enters a judgment of foreclosure or judgment against the borrower in nonjudicial states, that the loan is treated for purposes of future litigation as though it was in the trust, even though it never was. So that means that before the foreclosure, the REMIC trust owns no loans, not yours, not anyone. If the REMIC trust doesn't own your loan, then the pooling and servicing agreement for that trust, which is the trust document, affects nothing in connection with your loan. If the PSA doesn't affect your loan, then the servicing rights enumerated in the PSA have no effect. If the servicing rights in the PSA have no effect, then the claim by servicers that they are the servicers or that they have the right to offer modification, those claims are false. And if those claims are false, then they are really looking for a way to get you to admit to things that will enable them to foreclose anyway, or claim that the loan is their own loan and or make it their own loan, because the investors don't know anything about what these alleged servicers are doing. What they are doing is taking a defective, unenforceable group of paperwork that they call documents and getting you to sign new documents that are either valid or enforceable or which waive your right to say that they are not valid or enforceable. What is really happening is that the bank is converting the loan from a loan funded by investors to a loan not funded by the bank. Let me say that again. What is really happening is that the bank is converting the loan that was funded by investors to a loan owned by the bank but not funded by the bank. They are steering people into what are called in-house loans rather than HAMP modifications. The hubris of these people is incredible. Why are the investors sitting on their hands? Do they still not get it? The time has come for investors and borrowers to realize they are in the same boat. They are the same victims of the same scheme, losing money hand over fist, money that the banks are reporting as outsized earnings. You can report those kinds of earnings if you commit robbery and then pass it off as income. Don't believe them when you hear them say you must be 90 days behind. Report them to federal regulators. If you do submit an application for what they are calling modification, then also submit a proposal for modification backed up by the appraisal of a certified appraiser or a licensed real estate agent, or both, that shows that what you are offering is better than anything the investors would get by foreclosure. In many cases, the offer by the borrower compared with foreclosures produces a comparison that is very stark indeed. They show that the borrower is willing to pay 2 to 3 times what the investors would ultimately receive as proceeds. you can show that to a judge when you say that they, that the servicer said they would submit it to the investor, but the investor declined it. But you can say that they didn't show it to the investor because any reasonable person would have accepted your offer. And remember that this is a game for them, but it is life for you. Your home, your lifestyle, your future hang in the balance. Experience shows that those who fight down to the wire get the best settlements, and many win their cases outright. You don't hear about that many of the settlements because they're all under seal of confidentiality. And you don't hear about the winning borrowers that much because there's always continuing negotiations later that ends up in a confidential settlement. But thousands, tens of thousands of people are getting very good settlements for winning the cases. In the end, the entire thing called securitization is a sham. The money trail does not match up to any part of the document trail. And the other actions taken by the banks and servicers violate the terms and the concept of the securitization plan submitted to investors. Strongly recommend that you look at the articles over the last week and a half describing securitization as a concept. That's one article, Securitization as It Was Written, which already violates the concept, and Securitization as It Was Practiced, which violates both the concept and the written document. I've taken up enough time with my rant. I will now go to questions, and the first person has an area code of 920, first three digits, 219. You're on the air. What is your question?
My question is about the loan modification. I've been fighting with Deutsche Bank and Chase, and recently Ocwen entered the picture for 6 years, pro se. I'm in the appeals process right now. But when Ocwen offered the loan modification last October, made the three trial payments, then the modification comes through, the permanent one, when the appeal is due. And the permanent modification wants me to sign and give all legal authority to Ocwen, not Deutsche as trustee for the trust, not Chase as the master servicer, but give it to Ocwen. And now Chase denies having anything to do with me at all. Why?
Well, this is a very common thing. If they have made an offer of modification that you want to accept, then you might want to talk to an attorney about how in your jurisdiction you go about compelling them to live up to it. Just because they switch entities doesn't mean that they can discard agreements that are that were made before. It's true that what I have already said here, that they probably lack the authority to do anything. But based on their own allegations, they're saying they do have the authority. And if they do, unless they can show that there's been a change of ownership, then the and even then, I think the modification would be enforced, and I've seen that happen many times. So what your question is, why are they disclaiming it? The answer is very simple. What they really want is not a modification. What they really want is a foreclosure judgment, or a judgment denying your right to challenge their foreclosure. And the reason for that is that they will, by getting that judgment, they force the loan into a trust, and they, the illusion that the loan failed which means that the money they received as insurance, as credit default swaps on the bonds that derive their value from your loan, that they get to keep that. Whereas if you really went into a modification and the loan became what is called a performing loan, then their claim, for which they had already been paid by insurers and other people, and other people who bought the loan without realizing that it had already been purchased by others, those people would make a claim for refund or repurchase of the loan by getting the foreclosure and leading you down the path where you've got many months of non-payment. Usually the borrower finds themselves unable to bring the loan current because so many months or years have passed that nobody keeps that kind of money around. So they get what they want. Their objective is to get a foreclosure. Their objective is not to give you relief. And frankly, I would say that your objective should not be relief. It should be justice. Because if the amount of money which they received from various parties was applied to your loan balance, which it was supposed to be, then the principal reduction that everybody's talking about would be a simple process of arithmetic and not a process in which you're getting some kind of freebie. So that's the best answer I can give you. I hope that's enough.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, and we'll go to area code 732, first three digits, 423. You have a question. All right. And area code 239, first three digits, 434. Do you have a question?
I'm here. I didn't know I had signed up for a question, but I do have a lot of questions. Sign a forbearance agreement for 6 months with a reduced payment, does that fall into the same category of a loan modification, sort of eliminating your ability to still go ahead and fight for them? I mean,
the answer to your question, unfortunately, is a typical lawyer's answer, which is it depends. A lot of the forbearance agreements are really modification agreements in disguise. A true forbearance agreement only means that we won't sue you as long as you do this or that. We won't foreclose as long as you do this or that, but we reserve our rights to foreclose. But despite that language, if it appears as though it fits all the other criteria of a loan modification and a trial payment period, then many courts are enforcing it as a loan modification. This is one that you really need to have a licensed local attorney who knows the ropes here guide you through the process. It is not something that I recommend that anybody attempt to do pro se. They can, of course, get litigation support or negotiation support from my organization or from others, but you need somebody who is really knowledgeable on that. So the answer to your question is, it probably is a modification, but without looking at it, it's impossible for me to say, and if it is a modification arrangement, it is probably enforceable. Again, I would defer to any local licensed attorney. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. And one other thing, I really enjoyed and appreciated all those articles in the last 10 days. I have forwarded them to several attorneys who are, defense attorneys for, in helping homeowners. and everybody is very pleased with them. One of the two of the things that you said in two of the articles were about if these articles were to get into the mainstream, you know, maybe I guess basically wake some of the banks up, or should we be trying to get them into the mainstream? I mean, I know several people that maybe that target like real estate agents and so forth. I mean, I would like to be sending them to a lot of people. Would you suggest that?
Yes, I would.
Okay, good. All right. Positively getting the information out is what you're saying too.
Yes, definitely. You have to realize that we're fighting an uphill battle because the mainstream media has either made a deal or otherwise decided that they're not going to cover corruption on Wall Street as a main item, despite the fact that that's the stranglehold on our economy. And as long as the stock market keeps hitting new highs like it did today, people think things are getting better, but they're not. And in the not-too-distant future, we're looking at another crash that, you know, is going to change people's minds. But unfortunately, it's human nature to wait until that crash occurs. So, yes, if you want to get this information out, then I would suggest that you do so and send it to anybody that you think will read it or
okay,
consider
it. Okay, great. I plan to do that. They were fabulous, fabulous articles, and thank you so much for sharing them with us.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
I always like positive feedback. Very nice. Got area code 772, first three digits 643. Do you have a question? All right. Well, we don't have much time for question or answer. We've got about a minute and a half here. I'll just end with this. I think that there are a lot of people now who are up in arms about what the banks did. It's pretty clear to me if you start looking at some of the judgments against the banks that started in six figures, 800,000, et cetera, and then went to seven figures, 3 million, and then went to eight figures so far. We had around 20 million in California, and then a new one in California, 39 million. There's a lot of potential liability for the banking sector as people start saying, no, we withhold our consent to this. And I would encourage lawyers, accountants, and of course homeowners and borrowers to not assume that anything that the banks have been saying is true, and to realize that there are many remedies that may be available to you, and you should pursue them. Thank you, and next week.
Thanks for listening to our broadcast. We hope that you tell your friends about us and let them know that there is hope and help in this financial crisis. Tune in every week to the Neil Garfield Show for free information and advice, and visit our blog daily at The Living Lies Blog. We provide support services, the latest strategies, analysis, expert consultations, testimony, and declarations to use in your battle against the largest economic crime in human history. For information concerning Neil, the team at Living Lies, or the law firm, go to www.livinglies.wordpress.com or call 520-405-1688. The opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the host and should not be attributed to any other person or entity.